Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chris Gibson, as we duke it out between the Republicans, the Democrats, the president, the Congress over the budget, one of the things that seems to be emerging on your side of the aisle, the Republican side of the aisle, is the, at least I've heard it this way, the accusation that under sequestration, the military, the defense function of the United States is not being fairly treated. Is that right?
I actually think that is right. The sequester is just like on the domestic side. On the national security side, the sequester is are cuts that are going to endanger our national security. Now, I have long said that if we think differently, we act differently, and that we reform the national security establishment, we're going to be safer for less money. So the budget I voted for last year, the Cooper-Lotharette budget, there's $500 billion less in national security than the Ryan budget. But it's done over a 10-year period that allows for the military to go through the necessary reform to make that happen. What's happened here with the sequester is in the middle of a fiscal year, it's coming in and taking nearly $50 billion. Keep in mind, there's only about 7.5-8 months left in the fiscal year, and the Defense Department was already budgeted in a certain way for this fiscal year. So we're going to have impacts on operations and maintenance. As you've heard, the DOD has talked about furloughs for its personnel. That's going to have a disruption effect across the full spectrum. So, look, I think we need to come together and replace the sequester with a long-term, pro-growth, fiscally responsible plan that moves our economy forward and gets us back on track so that the deficit is actually smaller than the interest payments on the debt after 10 years, allowing for a fully balanced budget in the years that follow. Hence the Cooper-Lotharette support. Let me say this too. I think that until we get a long-term agreement, we are not going to be able to adequately focus on the other things Congress must be doing, because it seems like every 3 to 6 months, we get the oxygen sucked out of the Capitol. We're fighting over something huge down there related to the budget. And meanwhile, I met with manufacturers in the Hudson Valley about 2 weeks ago. They couldn't agree more. They are waiting on what the tax code is going to look like, how we're going to deal with sequester before they make their major investments. Economists across the ideological spectrum say that there's up to $3 trillion sitting on the sidelines, on balance sheets, not invested in the economy. They're waiting to see what the rules of the game are going to be. We need to get this done. We need to get this agreement forged, get it enacted so that we can get that money in the economy, and then the Congress can focus on other matters that are pressing, like the 5-year farm bill. We absolutely need this farm bill for our area, the 5-year transportation bill. Mm. Really important for a state with aging infrastructure. The reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. Look, I can't tell you how important this issue is to our areas. We have had, you probably have seen, we have now meetings all throughout the Capital District region and beyond of teachers, of parents, of administrators frustrated with the current state of support for education. The whole model is under pressure and may very well fail us. And you think about the investments we need to make to this generation and beyond. We've got to do better than this. What I want to do at the federal level is make an impact by rolling back No Child Left Behind. With all the best intentions, we've overfed the role in education. We now have this high stakes, this onerous testing regime that is visited upon our students. The teachers are stressed out about it. And then you talk about the idea of tying that to their own evaluation. I have not seen, and I've only been back for a few years, but you know, I just got to tell you,
back from the military,
back from the army, yeah. And but you know, the morale among teachers right now is low.
It's true, and they don't deserve it.
They don't deserve it. The teachers are special. Everybody's got a story of just how. What a positive impact teachers have made on our lives. And I certainly feel that way. And, you know, our teachers know they're never going to be rich, but they want the intrinsic award. They have always valued the intrinsic award of educating, inculcating, and inspiring. And now they feel like their hands are tied by constantly having to teach to the test. And now with the specter of, you know, that they're going to be evaluated solely on the results of those tests, and that may be made public. And it's discouraging to our teachers, and they need advocates that speak out for them and our students and our parents. So this is what I want to see done. We're actually drafting a bill now that we hope will have bipartisan support at the federal level that we hope would be an amendment to the reauthorization of the ESEA when that comes forward. But here's my point on this.
The ESEA, for our listeners.
Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which really is the federal policy that guides states, which then states are really the lion's share of where the work is done, but they're guided by the federal policy, which about a decade ago was No Child Left Behind, and then, of course, Race to the Top that came in behind it.
Of course.
I just wanted to wrap up by saying that this is why it's so important that we get an agreement on the budget, because not only will that help grow our economy, move us back to a balanced budget, but then it'll allow the Congress to focus on the 5-year farm bill, the 5-year transportation bill, and the reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act,
now,
among other things.
You've been involved, Chris Gibson, with a group called No Labels. First of all, in a sentence or two, because we only got about 3 minutes, can you tell us what No Labels is?
Problem solvers. These are members of Congress from both sides of the aisle that recognize the fact that Congress, of course, is a great debating society where the issues of our time are debated. But also we have to solve that. We have to come to some kind of closure on that debate. We have to come forward with legislation. It's our responsibility. No Labels is focused on getting results.
Now, Paul Ryan, who you know and who ran for vice president and who is on a few more than a few lips as a potential presidential candidate this time, obviously knows he's got to go into primaries where he has to be the conservative Republican or you don't win. How is that going to help you achieve this business of getting people to sort of sit down, roll up their sleeves and stop being so political?
So there's a couple of ways. One is an epiphanal moment, which, quite frankly, I wish were the case, and that is that Cooper-Laturet budget that I supported. Our numbers are expanding. We only got 38 last year. That was 16 Republicans and 22 Democrats. When we took a vote on a Simpson-Bowles-like framework about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we got 75. So that's actually more
from
than
both sides.
From both sides.
Out of 435.
We had 21 Republicans and 54 Democrats.
Okay.
And by the way, the Republicans were spread across the ideological spectrum. So and so were the Democrats. So that's encouraging that you're seeing more folks realize we need to come together and get this done. That would be one way to do it, by having this surge of folks who realize that we need to come to an agreement and move on. Another way, which is related directly to your question, is that the House passes a budget. The Senate looks like they're going to pass a budget for the first time in 4 years. And then those respective budgets are reconciled. What I predict is that if we get to that point, and I surely hope that we do, if we're not able to come to the agreement on the front end, when they reconcile those two budgets, I predict it's going to look a lot like the budget I voted for last year.
Mm-hmm. Assuming that you're right, that would be nice. But if you're wrong, then what?
Well, I think that what, you know, we're looking at struggling still of these short-term agreements, and that is not what we need right now. We need to listen to our small business owners, their employees, and they're telling us we need to get the big agreement because that level of certainty is really required before we get the investments into the economy.
Congressman Chris Gibson, always wonderful to talk to you. We always appreciate the fact that you come in here and you talk to us in our studios. It sounds better, number one, and number two, we always appreciate seeing you. So thanks for doing it.
I enjoy it very much. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Ian, and God bless all the listeners out there.